We begin this series with this topic of hope. What I believe is one of the greatest attributes that can describe God. I'm going to read you two passages from Lamentations and help set the stage. This again is Jeremiah speaking. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Isn't that great? His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. We're going to learn about the mercy of God this morning and hope you're going to learn something that maybe helps you in your daily living, and maybe if you're hurting, it especially is going to speak to you in this day. Every layer to these different attributes of God are different, but they all connect in some way. And anytime it's my goal to communicate, my goal is to make whatever is complicated as simple as possible. I'm from West Virginia, so I like it simple. So I try to simple it as much as I can for anybody to be able to grasp. And once we kind of have the basics of something really simple, then I try to do a little deeper dive. So we take that knowledge with us and go a little deeper in God's Word. One of the challenges when we speak about these attributes is they overlap so much. Yes, God is love, joy, peace, mercy, faithfulness, grace, but he's also compassionate and kind and full of hope. He is all those things. While each of those things seem to overlap, they each are very distinct in what they are, but they build on the foundation. This morning, three words that are going to be the foundation we're going to work with. I didn't get this in the worship guide. I wish it had been, so I'm going to encourage you to write down when we get to this. The three words we're going to look at are grace, justice, and mercy. You're familiar with all three of those words, but they're very different from each other. Let me help you to explain. That's the first one. If you're going to write them down, this is justice. Justice. That's when you get what you deserve. We like justice because we see the crime, you do the time. So justice is that. Do the crime, you do the time. Justice. The next is grace. That's when you don't get what you deserve. We don't deserve salvation. But God in his graciousness and love gives us that great gift. So it's getting something you don't deserve. That's grace. And the third is mercy. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. You see that in Scripture. Grace and mercy are kind of linked in that we speak about them a lot in Scripture. So justice, get what you deserve. Grace, when you get what you don't deserve. And mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. And I say, you think, why is that important? You're going to see. We all have this perspective on these three words. For example, we all love justice. We are a justice people. We want people to get what they deserve until it's us. It's like, we don't want justice. No, we want other people to get justice, but not us. You probably said as you were driving in Florida, most people who drive in Florida at one point say it, these people drive crazy. I know, you said it. Well, when the policeman pulls you over, you're thinking, no, but not me. Not me, I don't drive crazy. Not me. I don't want justice. Here's some great news. Our God is merciful. In Ephesians, the second chapter, Paul contrasts our spiritual condition with Christ, and he contrasts it with God's mercy. He says this, Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. He's talking about us being spiritually dead. We're spiritually dead because of all the things we've done wrong. Then he says, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. All of you used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of your sinful nature. Well, before Christ, we did whatever we wanted to do. Whatever felt right, we did it. We didn't have any kind of compulsion to not do it. But our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everybody else. Let me summarize this. He's saying that without Christ, you're spiritually dead. Not physically, but spiritually dead because of your disobedience to God. actually points out you're obeying the devil, not God. And you're following your sinful desires, so you're subject to God's wrath when we're in that condition. Now, some people hearing this might be confused because you're thinking, well, I always thought there was a loving God, and you're speaking about an angry God. And I thought, did God change? Let me explain. Love and anger can coexist. Some of you think, what? Preacher, what are you saying? Love and anger can coexist. I'm going to show you some analogies that maybe this will help explain this. For example, if you have a child, now you love your child, but your child lied. And you love your child, but you're angry because they lied. Anger and love can coexist. Say you have a friend that you love, but your friend drinks too much and he drives. You love your friend, but you actually get angry because he puts other people's lives and his own in danger because he drinks and drives. You love, but have anger. They coexist. I'll give you a third one. You love your husband, but when he doesn't put the toilet seat down, there's love and there's anger together. You see that? You see that? See, so when God is angry, he can both love people and be angry with the people who have of his creation who have done wrong, who have angered him. Paul's talking about this in this nuance. He says, by our very nature, we're subject to God's anger, just like everybody else. Then in verse 4, you see the two of the best words that I like seeing in the Bible. When I'm reading through, and oftentimes it appears, these two words appear in a lot of negative stuff that the Word of God is saying. Well, we're reading through, and then these words, but God. Say those words with me. But God. Say them one more time. But God. Whenever you're reading through Scripture and you see those two words and they say, you go, because he's talking about all these things, and then he says, but God. And here's where it says, but God in his rich in mercy, he loves us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, we were dead spiritually, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Let me be real clear here. Even though we deserve to be punished, remember when you deserve something? You deserve something, but you don't get it. You deserve to be punished, but you're not punished. That's called mercy. He didn't give us what we deserved. What we deserved was justice. You see, you sin, you fail God, you miss the mark, you deserve justice. Well, you didn't get that because you got mercy, because we have a loving God who is rich in mercy. Any of you ever say, God's not fair? Don't put your hand up. I don't want to embarrass you. Because I know some of you have. God's not fair. Friends, we need to thank God that he is not fair. Just to hear those words come out of somebody's mouth, I'm like, oh, air sucks out of the room when I hear those. God's not fair. Oh, you don't want fair. You do not want God to be fair to you, friends, because you don't deserve a whole lot. You do not deserve that. If God were fair, I would get what my sins deserve. You would get what your sins deserve if God was fair. But God is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. In fact, I love the Greek word there. It's ilios. It's a present tense word. It means God lives in a continual or ongoing state of mercy. It isn't like God said, I'm going to have mercy today. It's God is mercy. He's continual state of mercy. It's unending state of mercy. It's rich in mercy. It's continual. It's always going to be there. It always has been there. Now, some of you might be thinking, I remember in the Old Testament, God was angry and he struck people dead. Again, has he changed his character? No, my friend, he has not. He has always been just. He has always been merciful. He has always been righteous. He has always been loving. This is why. Many people have an improper view of God. They don't really have a very good reflection from God's word of who God is. A lot of times that happens. I'm just going to throw this in. This is free here. Because you don't read God's word enough. That's how that happens. Read God's word to get to know God. When it began, I mentioned to you we're going to go deeper. Here's where we're doing a little deeper dive here. Some people have the wrong view of God. They view God like some people view God Genesis 3 to Revelations 20. Now, some of you are thinking, okay. And some of you who are a little bit more Bible students saying, wait a minute. Genesis doesn't begin in chapter 3. It begins in chapter 1. And Revelation doesn't end in Revelation 20. It ends in 22. So what do you mean, preacher? Genesis 3 is where Adam and Eve fell. It's where they sinned. They disobeyed God. Genesis 20 talks about the punishment and the judgments. For so many people, their view of God, their theology of God is, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. You're pathetic, you're going to hell. You fell short, you're going to hell. You're not a good person, you're going to hell. And that's all their view of God is. But that's not where the story of God started. And friends, that's not where it ends. Beginning in Genesis 1, where God created everything, he said, it's good. It's real good. The oceans are good. The mountains are good. The skies are good. The birds are good. He doesn't say anything good about cats here. Just want to throw that in. Just keep them with Scripture, okay? But God said, this is all good, enjoyed, be naked, be fruitful, be multiply, have a great time, stay away from this tree. Isn't that how you get it? You know, you're free, have a great time, multiply, everything's fine, stay away from this tree. He was very clear about that. He said, if you eat from it, you will surely die. And they ate from it, but they didn't drop dead. God is merciful. You see, when you die spiritually, it's not the same as dropping dead physically. You may look the same, you may walk the same, you may talk the same, but you're a walking corpse. I like the way that the Bible as a whole speaks of God. It starts with good, it ends with good, because God's mercy is new every day. When you understand the mercy of God, you get to have a clear picture of who God is. He's always been just, always had mercy. In fact, Romans 12:1 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. I hope that means a lot more to you now that you hear that, because now you understand about mercy a little bit better. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. You following me? Are y'all keeping up? It makes sense? It's all okay. Nod if you're getting it. Okay. Just making sure. I want to make sure I don't leave anybody behind. He's always been good. He's always been merciful. He's always been just. Let's keep going. Old Testament. David sinned. And you may be thinking about Bathsheba. That's probably what comes to mind. It's a different time. David actually was pretty good at sinning. Bathsheba was kind of a one-off situation. But David had a lot of other sins he could go to. And we just kind of remember that one. Let's look at what David said in 2 Samuel 24. He said he wanted to return. He said, let us fall into the hands of the Lord. Why? For his mercy is great. He's done wrongdoing. He's acknowledging that. But he's saying, let me run into God's hands. And then he says, but do not let me fall into human hands. Why do you think he said that? We aren't very merciful, are we? We like justice for other people. We like justice for everybody else. But we're not big on mercy. If you mess up, you repent, you ask God for forgiveness, he's forgive you, he gives you mercy. But you talk to people. People like to have a long memory. Even people who say they forgive might remember it 15, 20, 30 years later and bring it up. You with me? See, we're not really good at mercy. We aren't really good at it at all. Even though we've got this wonderful example of a loving, merciful God who's right in our face showing us. I think this is something I found to be true. People who have the most that God has forgiven seem to struggle the most with offering mercy to others. You ever seen that? I see that in my life. I see that in people around me. I just think that's true. You see, mercy is at the heart of God. It's one of those kind of things that God doesn't do mercy. God is mercy. And God has so many attributes. He has so many qualities. But mercy is at the heart of God. And let me give you an example of how I know that. If you read through the Old Testament, you're eventually going to come to a place where God is giving instructions about how the temple is to be built. And the temple is his dwelling place. It's kind of the masterpiece of what David wanted to do. He didn't get to do it. Solomon got to build the temple. It's really special. Again, you could read this for yourself. It's kind of brutal to read because it's real specific. But God was very specific about the temple. It really reminds me, if God needed two helpers, he would have picked my wife and Debbie Barrett. Some of you don't know, but Debbie and Linda and some other people too, not just them, by the way, were instrumental for putting up all the decorations and picking out the colors and the chairs you're sitting on and all the things around the building. We were doing this building. And you know, I'm like, what color? I go, I don't care. And they would go right away, and they have 50,000 chip charts they're looking through. And I'm like, this one's better than this one. I'm like, they're identical. They're identical. This one's better than this. God could have used Debbie and Linda. They could have, you know, he said, this is how you build the portico. And he gives you so much dimensions and build it this high, use this much. And then the girls would have come along by and saying, oh, but it's got to be this color. It's got to be this color. And then you build the entry, and it's going to be great. Here's a storeroom. And they're going to say, this is how big the shelves have to be. This is how deep they have to be. And they're detail people. God had a lot of details. He was very specific about this. He says, it's got to be gold over here, and then there's got to be silver here, and there's got to be bronze here. And he was very, very, very specific. And then God says, in the middle of my house, I'm paraphrasing, in the middle of my house, I want you to build a place of atonement. And in the very middle, the descriptive glory and beauty of my house, I want you to build a mercy seat. A mercy seat. Why? Because God's saying, in my house, I want to always make room for mercy. It was the center of God's house. It was a place designed by God. It's who God is. It is the heart of God. James was the one who said, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Why is it those who receive the most mercy often are the most judgmental? I don't know. I'm sure there's a reason somewhere somebody's thinking hard about, but I don't know. Perhaps one of the biggest reasons so many people stay away from God today, it's not because of who God is, because how we represent God, us, how we represent God. Because the world sees most Christians as narrow-minded, hypocritical, without mercy, and judgmental. And in many cases, they'd be right. I'm just telling you the truth here. In many cases, they'd be right. We all have received mercy. We are all sinners. We were lost and destined for hell. Wouldn't you think we would be the most merciful? Wouldn't you think that? Here at OCC, we want to spread the word to come as you are. Come with your pain and your brokenness and your sinfulness and your insecurities and your dysfunctions and the drug problem, the porn problem, the sexual identification problem you may have, your sexual identity issues, lying, envy, greed. Come with all those things that you want no one else to know about that God already knows about. Because this is a place where you're welcome. This is a place you'll find mercy. This is a place you'll find that you'll be loved. In spite of your sin, well, we will love you. Come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. That's what we want to communicate to people. There is love there. There's love here. That's why we've got to be merciful, because we have received so much mercy ourselves. We are not the judges. We want to have mercy, and we want it shared upon us and on others. And come with your doubts. We're okay to talk about them. We've got no problem with that. Come with your complicated questions if you got those. That's fine. Come with your complaints about God. You got complaints? Come on out and join us. We can hear them. Come with your things that make you crazy about church. Everybody's got some things that makes them crazy about church. Come with those things. We can talk about those things. We're not scared of those things. This is the perfect church for imperfect people. Because every one of you sitting in these seats is imperfect. Amen? Amen? I want to keep reminding you of that. I don't want anybody to start thinking, well, I'm doing pretty good here. I don't know. I've been to church regularly here, Roger. I don't know. I don't want you getting that way. We're imperfect. Mercy, grace, and justice. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't, it's what you don't get, even though you deserve it. Friends, you don't deserve grace. I don't deserve grace. But we were given grace. You see, God demanded justice. There's that word justice. God demanded justice for our sins. The wages of sin is so someone had to die. Justice demanded, and Jesus paid. All the way back to Lamentations, it reads, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every day." Every day that you wake up, his mercy begins again. It's available to you today. He can handle your doubts. He can handle your hurts. He can handle your brokenness. He can handle your anxiety, your complaints. There is not a sin you've committed that can take you so far away from God that you cannot be brought back. If you think that God can't, your God is too small. You need to look at the real God reflected in God's word. Take it to God. His mercies are new every day. Let's pray. Father, we stand before you as a group of failures. We've sinned. We've failed. Father, we're embarrassed that we sin so often. Even once we've come to you, Lord, we still struggle. And we come before you and we ask for mercy, that we don't get what we deserve. But Father, you extend grace to us and you give us what we need rather than what we deserve. Father, we love you. We ask for forgiveness. And Father, if there's someone here today who has never come to know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, it is a relationship. It's not a name on a roll. It's not to be able to call a church your church. It's to have a relationship with you. Father, it begins by acknowledging we are sinful. We have sinned. It's accepting your forgiveness and asking for forgiveness. It's repenting of those sins. It's confessing our faith in you. It's being obedient in a watery grave of baptism, to be immersed into Christ, Father, to rise up again out of that water, to be born again. Father, if that hasn't happened in the lives of the people here, I pray that today maybe they did for the first time. Maybe if many times they thought about it, but for the first time, they're really thinking about doing something about it. Let it be today. Father, you are full of mercy, and we are a people who need mercy. In Jesus' name, I pray.